I'd like to talk again about, guess what? Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Returning thanks in particular. You know, I read this week, in order to thank, you need to think. Because when a person expresses thanks, it's always preceded by meditating on something for which you have been grateful, you've been blessed by, and you want to express that. People who don't thank, don't think. Because if we consider, think, about all that God does for us, we want to be able to keep up with Him in thanking Him for all of His blessings. There's a Jewish proverb that says if we would spend more time thanking God for His blessings, we wouldn't have time to complain about the trials that come. Because they so far outnumber our struggles. I'd like to begin by turning your attention to a scripture, Luke chapter 17, verse 12 to 19. Story that's often been referred to, and it bears repeating. Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off because they had leprosy. They could not approach him. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And it was so that as they went, they were cleansed. Now I could stop right here and take this another direction. I'll just stub out on this road a little bit here. As they went, they were cleansed. You know, when the Lord tells you to do something, the miracle usually transpires as you take the first steps to do what He's told you to do. In going, they were cleansed. The angel said to Peter, when he's chained between two soldiers in prison, arise. Well, when the angel said arise, the chains were still there. When Peter made the first effort to get up, then the chains fell off. One time Jesus said to a man who had not walked in 38 years to get up. And as the man tried to send some electrical impulses from his brain to his muscles then came alive and responded. When you make an effort to do what God has told you to do, a miracle takes place. Incidentally, that's the secret for victory in every area. In going, they were cleansed. They didn't wait until they saw that they had a reason to go and offer the offering for thanksgiving, for cleansing from leprosy. They acted on the word of the Lord, and then they had a reason. So I'd never forget that. But one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice, so everyone around him would be aware, glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said to him, were there not 10 cleansed? Of course, Jesus is using a little sanctified sarcasm there. I thought that we cleansed 10. This is a serious reduction. Only a tithe of those that were cleansed came back. Where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. This story and these percentages are indicative of the number of people who returned thanks to God. And what's interesting is the one who returned to give thanks was not a member of the church. And he was the most grateful. At least he took the time to express it. You know, it's possible that when a person gets too much, we become spoiled. We take everything for granted. Only in America will people complain when their welfare checks are late. I'm serious. You go around the world and you look at how some people struggle from day to day for the bare necessities, and we complain, and I've done it, so I'm talking to myself. We complain when our remote control is broken. Ruins our day. We've got to get up and turn channels with our finger. And we're mad. Right? Cruise control's broken. My ankle's sore. You're laughing because you know it's true. In the same way that parents can spoil children, we can become spoiled by our prosperity and our affluence, where we take everything for granted. Those who have not experienced the same degree of blessings that we have experienced are sometimes the most thankful because they don't take them for granted. And they make an effort to express thanks. You know, sometimes I think that we're afraid to say thank you because we're afraid the blessing will go away. Maybe these other nine thought, hey, I've been healed. I'm not going to do anything that might interrupt with this. Maybe if I go back and tell him thank you, he'll take it back because he told me to go. But this other one was so overwhelmed with love that he had to return thanks. You know, in reality, it's the other way around. When you offer gratitude for a gift given, you pave the way for another gift. Thankfulness paves the way. It opens the giver to bestow another benefit. In amazing facts, I'm just going to be very frank with you now. We are completely supported by what they call direct mail. We send out letters to the people who have responded to our TV and radio that believe in the ministry. And incidentally, how many of you are on the mailing list? Let me see your hands. Those of you who didn't raise your hands, you have no idea what you're missing. You get the magazine and very interesting letters we send out every month, plus information and gifts. Gift tapes and stuff. So we hope that if you're interested, you'll call and get on the mailing list. In any event, we send out letters, and some people have given some very generous gifts. The majority of people that write us, it's $5 and $10 is what keeps the ministry going. But it's a lot of people doing their $5 and $10, and we are very thankful. And every time someone sends a gift, we always send a thank you letter. Because people, the statistics show, people are more inclined to repeat giving when there's an expression of gratitude. People will work harder for somebody who is appreciative of what they do. And, you know, I remember a pastor, Crabtree. I would have elected him president. Just, he was always telling everybody how much he appreciated them. And it was fun to watch him try and think up something to be appreciative for. He'd walk up to anybody walking through the church. You know, we really love you. We appreciate you. We really like the way you comb your hair. We really... And he'd try and think of something nice to say about everybody. And folks liked being around Jim because he was always kind of gushing with love. And you know, some of it was he was just trying to make people feel good. But you know what? We like it anyway. People like to be appreciated. I also think thankful people live longer. It's a theory of mine, but so far as I look at it, it seems to bear out. Went down Thanksgiving to see my mother's parents. Now, my mom passed away, but both her parents are alive in pretty good health. And they're in their 80s now. And my grandfather, there at the dinner table, he's saying, you know, Doug, I'm so proud of you and what you do, even though you're not technically a rabbi. He said, I'm still proud of you. And he said, you know, I want you to know that every single night since I was 5 years old, there's not been one night that I go to sleep that I don't pray to God and thank Him for His blessings and tell Him my sins. And he's a very religious man, really believes in God in that respect. Doesn't have all the trappings of religion some people might experience, but you know, you talk to him and he's always thankful. He says, I am so grateful. He said, I'm 88 years old. I've got 20/20 vision. I don't wear a hearing aid. And I have no varicose veins. Then he pulled up his pants and he showed us his legs. And you got good looking legs. What's that?
I wonder where
he gets. Where do I get that? It's from my grandfather. I get his hairline too. I hope I got his genes. I hope when I'm 88 years old that I'm in such good shape. Rides a bicycle. But you know, he's thankful. And I know a few people like this that have lived to a long age. Clyde Cochran, 101 years old, was always talking about all that he was grateful for. And some of these people who are especially thankful, they're not as blessed as my grandfather. They have their trials. They have their aches and pains. But you know, I think God keeps them around a little longer because they're a good example for everybody else. They're grateful when everyone else is grumbling. Somebody said one time, what separates a monastery from a prison is one is filled with gratitude while the other is filled with griping. It's the difference between complaining and prayer is the difference between a monastery in a prison. You know, I don't make a big deal out of Christmas, but I thought it was interesting. The post office said that of the thousands of letters they get every year of children who are writing to Santa with their list of what they want, for every 1,000 letters, they might get one letter back of thanks to this imaginary Santa. Out of 10 who were healed of leprosy, one came back. Now, is God asking us to remember everything that He's done for us? How can you and I do that? Turn with me to Psalm 103. No, actually, is that the one I want? Psalm 103, yeah, verses 1 to 5. This is a beautiful little passage here that talks about the goodness of God and all that He does for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. It said here, and forget not all His benefits. Now, you may not be able to remember everything for which you need to thank God, but as one preacher said, don't forget them all. It's like that child who came home from a birthday party, and the mother said, did you make sure and thank the lady? And the boy said, well, I was going to thank her, but the girl in front of me said thank you, and the lady said, don't mention it, so I didn't. Or it's like that old farmer in Vermont, you know, they're kind of stoic there, and he's sitting wistfully on the porch bench with his wife, and he has a melancholy moment, and he says, wife, you've been a very good wife. Matter of fact, you've been so good that at times I can't keep from telling you. That's the way some of us are. We're thankful. We think we're supposed to try and keep from telling others that we appreciate them. Forget not all His benefits. We may not remember them all, but let's not forget them all. We should spend as much time in thanking God for His benefits as we do in asking Him for them. Now, there's a thought. Do you spend as much time thanking Him for what He's giving as you do in asking for them? I like that story in the second book of Kings where Naaman the leper, another foreigner, non-church member, so to speak, healed of his leprosy. He's at the Jordan River. The Bible says, so he went down, he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, that's Elisha the prophet, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, he was at the Jordan River. He was on his way to Damascus when his soldiers persuaded him to wash and obey and be cleaned. It was 25 miles back, the opposite direction of his home, to go to Samaria, where Elisha was. He mounted his horse and rode back 25 miles, 50 miles round trip extra, just to say thank you. And you know how he was going to say thank you? Not just orally. He said, take a gift. I want to do something to express my thanks. And Elisha wouldn't take it. But I think it's interesting that he returned thanks. He took the time to stop and to say thank you. One thing that my mother was very good at, and Karen is also very good at in trying to train me, is you always send a thank you note when someone sends you a gift. Or when you go to someone's house and they go out of the way and provide a nice dinner, it's so nice to do a thank you note. And incidentally, for all of you who are members here who have given me gifts, I thought I'd cover this all in one fell swoop right now. Have I thanked you? Let me tell you thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, really, I do feel guilty sometimes because it's nearly impossible. You could ask some of the folks from Amazing Facts how much mail we get. For me to, and people send nice little, people send me videotapes and they send me cute little gifts and bookmarks and all the things they've made themselves. And you just can't keep up with it all. Folks are so nice. But you ought to do something as often as you can. I heard about a man who was an accountant for a millionaire. And this millionaire was in the habit of never expressing gratitude, never telling someone they did a good job. He'd never even tip at a restaurant. Never gave anybody anything that he felt he had to give them, unless he had to give it to him, in other words. New Year's Eve, true story, the accountant committed suicide. He was a bachelor. They went through his things. His house was in perfect order. All his bills were paid. Everything was very neat. He had a nice life, prosperous man. And he had written one note. He said, 30 years of working for that man, not one expression of gratitude, I can't take it anymore. You know, that's all that some people need to keep going. It's just a little expression of encouragement and thanks and gratitude. It makes life so much more bearable. You know what else happens is when you're thankful, even in the midst of suffering, the suffering is lessened. You know, the Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, in how much? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Erwin Lutzer put it this way, you can learn to give thanks even if you don't feel particularly thankful. If God gives a command, He expects obedience, whether or not you're in the mood. Thankfulness, like forgiveness, is not an emotion. Thankfulness is an intelligent response of gratitude to God. In other words, you are told to believe in His forgiveness, even though you may not feel forgiven. In the same way, the command is just as clear. You are told to be thankful, even though you may not feel very thankful. You might say, well, Doug, isn't that faking it? No, that's called a response of faith. How many of you who are parents have taught your children to say thankful, say thank you, even then they maybe didn't feel like it? And they say, well, I don't feel it. Say it anyway, right? You're doing the right thing. You've got to teach them to express appreciation because it's the right thing to do, even if you may not feel very thankful. In the same way, if you're going through some kind of trial, maybe you're suffering physically, you can be thankful. You know, I love this story in the Bible about Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel chapter 6, King Darius writes a law. Anybody caught praying in public is going to be kitty food. And Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went home to his upper room, his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times a day. He got into a physical posture of prayer. He prayed out loud and gave thanks before his God, as his custom was since early days. You know what that means? It was evidently his custom to not only give thanks, but three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed to God and thanked God. Now Daniel knows he's about to be executed and he still found reason to thank God. We can thank the Lord all the time. You know, I've tried this. Sometimes I'll be going through some struggle or some trial and my first reaction is to whine. Anyone else out there? It's a natural response. You whine and you pout. And Karen knows it's true. Sometimes I'm so embarrassed. I have so many blessings. I start feeling sorry for myself and get depressed and start whining and like a big baby. I learned it from my wife. And, you know, when I come to my senses, I think, oh, boy, you're awful. You know, you've got so much to be grateful for. Here it is, Thanksgiving. I was whining about something this weekend. I was in a hotel room with two preschoolers. And my son, Micah, 20-year-old, we're all down there sharing one hotel room, and I couldn't find my space. So I was starting to get a little restless because I usually wake up and I go lock myself in the office and I study, and I woke up and so did all the kids, and I'm, I don't have any time. Starting to mumble and gripe and complain, you know, and then you start thinking about all you got to be thankful for. And you start counting your blessings and you think, what kind of insanity is it that the devil can get us to focus on that one spot on the window and we forget the whole cathedral, you know? There's something about focus. And if we manage to direct our attention that something isn't going our way, you can make yourself miserable. But then if by choice, you may not feel like it, if you begin to direct your attention to the many blessings that you have, you might be suffering physically, you might be suffering financially, you might have some family problems, whatever the crisis might be, you can find that the blessings are so enormous. For one thing, thank the Lord you're not getting what you deserve. You missed a good chance. What's the penalty for sin? How many dead people here? Well, I wonder. Well, you know, when you preach and don't get any response, you start to wonder. But I think technically we're all alive, and the reason you're alive is by virtue of the mercy and sacrifice that Jesus has made for you. And so that's something to be thankful for. I mean, consider the alternative. We're always one breath away from the alternative. Leviticus 22, verse 29. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, make your thanksgiving to the Lord of your own free will. Now, you may not feel like it, but no one can really force you to give a gift of thanksgiving. There's several ways to give an offering of thanksgiving. One is verbally, and that's important. But I think even more tangible than that is sometimes we show how thankful we are by what we give. Heard about a couple in church one day, and this lady made a little speech, and she did an offering to their church building fund. She said, "This is on behalf of my son who was killed during the war." And she gave this generous offering. "I want to thank the Lord for him and for his life, and I want to make this offering in gratitude for his life. My son, he died in the war." And this husband and wife were sitting together, and the wife turned to her husband. She said, let's match that gift." He said, "Why? Our son isn't dead." And she said, "That's exactly why. Why don't we give a Thanksgiving offering? Because he's alive. And do something tangible to show our thanks." You know, if you thought that by doing an offering of thanks for your living loved ones, you could redeem them with money, how much would you give? Are you going to wait? Now, I'm not saying that we can buy their lives with our money, because that's an insult to the Lord. But I'm saying all of a sudden things begin to take their perspective. How thankful are you to God for his many blessings and the protection that he constantly intervenes for us? I think it's important to thank the Lord for just the conveniences that he gives us in life. Little things. I'm a nut about little things. Oh, you sit up and pay attention, please, Mrs. Bachelor. I am. Little things make a difference to me. I mean, I don't wig out because someone squeezes the toothpaste in the wrong place or anything like that. But I organize things in a little things in a certain way, and I've got like this personal schedule that I follow. And when things get interrupted, it just kind of shakes me up. I get out of my routine. But I'm very appreciative for all the conveniences that God has surrounded us. Are you thankful for microwaves? You know how much life has been saved? I mean, life is time. You know how much time has been saved by microwaves? And we've got a whole generation here that don't remember when there were no microwaves and used to sit and wait for things to boil and to bake. Seven things for which a housewife is thankful. I collected this list somewhere one time. Seven things for which a housewife is thankful. For automatic dishwashers, they make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family comes in for the after-dinner snacks. For husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house, they usually make them big enough to call in professionals. For the bathtub, it's the one place that the family allows mom some time to herself. For children who put away things and clean up after themselves, there's such a joy you hate to see them go home to their own parents. For gardening, it's a relief to deal with dirt outside the house for a change. For teenagers, they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. For smoke alarms, they let you know when dinner's done. Psalm 35, verse 18. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. You know, I think it's important for us to publicly express our thanks to God. Not only is it, I think, important when you're in church, but I think it's especially important when you're in a secular environment to tell people, thank God. And, I've just blurted out thank God before at ticket counters at airlines when I said, could I please get an aisle seat or one of those exit rows because they're longer. I can't open up my laptop when I'm traveling if you sit in regular coach, which is where I fly, because the people lean back their seats and you got to look at your laptop like this when you open the chair. And so I always try and get one of those exit rows. You know what I'm talking about? Those of you that travel, they're a little wider and I can open the thing all the way up. And I remember on many occasions they said, well, there's one left. And I'll say, praise the Lord, especially on long trips. And you can see people look at you like, you know. When I was at my grandmother's house, this was our whole Jewish side of the family. There's no Christians in the group. And you're aware there are different kinds of Jews. Some Jews go to temple, they believe in God, they're Orthodox, they're kosher. Then you've got people who are Jewish by blood, but they're not at all religious. But they're very proud of being Jewish. most of my family's in that category. First night we all got together, and my cousin, Alan and Pamela, said, "Are you going to offer thanks?" No, he said, what did he say? Grace. He said, "You're going to offer grace or blessing?" We've never heard anyone do that before. They're 22 years old. So, you know, of course we bow our head and we pray. And it was kind of weird. And at the dinner the next day, they say dinner's served and everybody's in different rooms in the house and everybody just kind of like someone had shouted feed time at the farm. Everybody just runs and gets a place and grabs it and sits down. And it felt so awkward for me to have people just go grab their food and start stuffing their faces without doing anything where you stop for a minute and say, "Thank you, Lord." And I thought, you know, this is the way most of the world does it, because that's how I used to do it. It's just like feeding time at the zoo with the meals. I heard one time King Alfonso in Spain discovered that the pages, these young boys that worked delivering messages in his palace, in his kingdom, that they were eating there at the palace cafeteria, and they weren't thanking God for their food. And that really bothered him. I mean, here they're eating from the king's cafeteria, and they're just gulping down their food. So I'll teach him a lesson. And one day he decided to join them, all these young pages, for the meal. They're the heralds, you know, in the kingdom. And during the meal, of disheveled, filthy, crude beggar came walking in to the palace cafeteria. Sat down right there amidst all the young pages and heralds and just began grabbing food and stuffing his face and eating. And after he got done, he burped and got up, stuck a few loaves of bread in his dirty clothes and walked out. And some of the young pages jumped up and said, "Who do you think you are? Where'd you come from? Who gave you a ride? What are you doing? You're not even saying thank you." And the king told them to all sit down. He said, "You're not any better than that beggar. I told him to come in." He said, "You've been eating at my table every day, and not only are you not thanking me, you're not even thanking your Heavenly Father that gives you all of your blessings." He tried to illustrate that sometimes we're just like these greedy beggars that take all we can carry from God, and we don't stop to consider where the blessings are coming from. The Lord sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He sends the sunshine on those that thank Him and those that don't, because God is a giving God. Amen? He's a loving God, and He wants to shower us with blessings. There was a Scottish preacher named Alexander White. And at the beginning of every one of his church services, he always, in his introductory prayer, thanked the Lord for something. Well, one cold, rainy day, everyone was wondering, what's he going to say today? And he began his prayer and he said, "Lord, I want to thank you that it's not always like this." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. Thanksgiving ought to be part of every prayer. Not only is it a holiday during the harvest of every year, Thanksgiving is really the purest form of worship. It's the purest form of praise. When we're thanking God, there is no better way of praising Him. You know, when I used to go to these charismatic churches before I was a Seventh-day Adventist, they were very vivacious people and liked to praise the Lord. But sometimes I got confused, because during the service they'd say, "Let's all praise the Lord." And so they go, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." That's not how you praise God. Praise is a verb. It's something you do. You don't do it by saying the verb. For instance, if I say to you, you're training this dog here, and when he does something right, you need to praise him. Now, if you understood that meant that you're supposed to go, "Praise you, praise you, praise you," to the dog, you're not going to ever teach him anything. The way you praise him is by doing something tangible. By you pet them, you give them a reward of some sort. It's something specific. The way you praise God is not by going, "Praise you, praise you, praise you." All these injunctions in the Psalms and in the Bible where it says, "Praise ye the Lord," that doesn't mean start going, "Praise you, praise you, praise you." What it means is you identify the specifics for which you are thankful. That's how you praise God. You identify the characteristics of God that you're glorifying. It's specifics. That's how you praise God. And so many people don't understand that. They think the way you praise God is just by saying praise God. Though it's not inappropriate when something good happens to say praise the Lord for that goodness or for that specific happening. You know, I remember went to visit a lady in the hospital who was suffering from congestive heart failure. And in the midst of her suffering, she had all the hospital apparatus attached to her body, and she was kind of rolling back and forth. I said something stupid like, "How are you doing?" And I've told you, I'm not really good at hospital visits. I'm getting better. But I'll never forget that she said, "Oh, Doug, I've got so much to be thankful for. The Lord is so good to me." It reminded me of a story that I found this week of a missionary who died in the southern tip of South America. They call it, what is it, Tierra del Fuego, down there, trying to do mission work among the Indians. And Alan Gardner experienced all these physical difficulties. He suffered from disease. They were starving down there. He was wounded. And finally, he died of starvation. When the supply ship came a year later, they found his skeleton in his cabin, and they found his diary nearby. And his last entry in his little diary talked about his struggle and his starvation and everything, and he closes by saying, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God." You know, in everything, it's possible to give thanks. Wouldn't it be nice to know, in the same way Jesus said, "Do not fear him who's able to hurt your body but not able to hurt your soul," there is no circumstance that the devil can bring you through and take away your thankfulness. Have you ever considered that? You know, this time of year when we talk about Thanksgiving, we start thinking of the things that we have to be thankful for. We say, "Yeah, I guess I can be thankful." Some people, their list isn't long enough. They say, "I'm not very thankful this year," or some trials come. But you're missing the boat completely, because when you've got the Spirit of God and when you know Him, and when you're in tune with all that He does for us that we don't deserve, you're always thankful, no matter what your circumstances are. I heard about an old man who was in his 80s planting a peach tree in his backyard, and the neighbor was observing him over the fence, and he said, "Brother," he said, "you know, peaches take a while before they bear fruit." He said, "You realize, of course, you're probably never going to eat from that tree." He said, "I know, young man." He said, "But I've been eating peaches that other people planted all my life, and I wanted to return the favor." Spirit of thankfulness. I heard a contrasting story one time about a typical attitude of unappreciation. A man was in the post office, and he was filling out some addresses on letters there at the desk where they got that little pin chained to the table. And an older gentleman walked in, and his hand was shaking a little bit. He said, "Pardon me, sir, would you mind addressing a letter for me?" And so the young man could see that his hand was shaking. He said, "Yeah, I could help you." And so he filled out the address. He said, "Now, I don't want to be a trouble, but could you write a little note for me?" He said, "Sure." He said, "I got time." And so he took dictation. His old gentleman was dictating a letter, and he wrote the note. And he said, "Will that be all right?" He said, "Yeah, that's good." He said, "One more thing." He said, "Put P.S. Please excuse the handwriting." You know, you ever heard the expression, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth? When someone's doing something for you, you're to be appreciative and not to complain. And, you know, the Lord does so much for us, and yet we still manage to complain. It would be a good test. See if you can get through a day without complaining about something or making a negative statement. See if you could be thankful for everything nice that's done for you. How many of you enjoy hearing your children say thank you? You know, little Nathan is so cute now, because we're teaching him, Karen's we're good about, we're teaching him to say please and thank you. And you'll do these little things for him. And like last night for dinner, I was eating pistachio nuts, and I can't just let him have the bag of nuts, or it's a disaster. So I have to give them to him one by one, but he can't open them. So I open them, and he eats them one at a time. So I'm eating my sandwich and pistachio nuts, and he's sitting there, and he'll say, "A nut, please." So I'll take one, I'll open it up, I'll hand it to him. "Thank you." Next minute, "A nut, please." I think that's why I did it. It made me so happy to hear him go, "Please, thank you." Every time I give him. Now, if it makes you and I feel good as parents when we hear our children learn to be appreciative, learn to say, please. How do you think it makes our Heavenly Father feel? How does He feel when we're rudely, like sloppy beggars, stuffing our pockets with all the blessings He gives us and we forget to thank Him? If there's anything for which we can be thankful, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. If someone gives you a gift, you want to say thank you. We are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, the gift of salvation, the gift of everlasting life. What's a better gift than that? That gift was purchased with what? With God's Son. Have you thanked Him often? Do you thank Him every day for forgiveness? You know, whenever you thank somebody for something, that object, that item, that favor that was performed is freshened in your mind when you say thank you for it. Every time you thank God for His salvation, it revives the awareness of His saving you and what He saved you from in your mind. Have you thanked Him for your salvation? You should thank Him every day. Amen? I heard about these workers in Germany that were building this tall church. And they were up on the roof finishing up the masonry, and one of them lost his footing. He slipped down the side and fell over 100 feet down below. His comrades scrambled off the roof to get down there and expected to find him either dead or his body all broken, but instead they found there was a dead sheep. He had slid off the roof and he landed on a lamb that was grazing down below that absorbed the crushing fall, and it instantly killed the lamb, but it insulated his crash, so to speak. As an expression of gratitude, there in front of that church in Germany, the mason erected a sheep as an expression of thanks. Well, you know, you and I were heading for destruction and somebody broke our fall. And God so loved the world, He sent His Son. Jesus is the Lamb of God that broke our fall. Are you thankful for that? Or do you get to the place where you take it for granted? Is it possible that you and I, like those nine lepers, part of God's church, that just took the healing of leprosy for granted and forgot to say thank you for it, they went on their way? It was Naaman the Syrian who went back to thank Elisha. It was the Samaritan who went back to thank Jesus. Are we getting to the place where we're taking all of God's blessings for granted? He loves everybody. He showers His blessings on everybody. If anyone's going to be thankful, it ought to be you and I. If anybody has reason to be thankful, it's those who have been saved from death and destruction and sin. Amen? You know, in closing today, I thought that I'd just make a general appeal. If you'd like to thank God for His gift, why don't we stand together and let's sing it from our hearts. And it's a song number, what is the number? 557. Now, thank we all our God. Something to be thankful for? Prove it. Start making a list in your mind. Some of you might want to make a tangible list. How many of you would like to increase your thankfulness? You know, it happens by thinking. Comes before thanking. You've got to invest some energy in saying, now, should I be thankful? What am I thankful for? And then itemize the things. The measure of health that you enjoy. The times that you have been delivered from disaster. How many times the Lord has delivered you from sin and temptation? for your family, for daily food. I'm thankful for our church here. Aren't you? We've got a wonderful church. I just love the atmosphere and the spirit here. We've had baptisms the last three Sabbaths. How many of you have noticed that? Praise the Lord for new life that's coming in. We have so much to be grateful for. I'd like to challenge you before the day's over to make a list and express to God what you are thankful for. Matter of fact, I just had an idea. Pastor Bailey, think we could rustle up some deacons? Let's get some offering baskets at the door. Now, I'll tell you why we're doing this. We usually take an offering during communion. We've been doing some of our communion services at night. I'd like to take an offering for the poor. I want to give away from our church today. And if you'd like to do something to say thank you to God for all of His blessings, we're going to have some deacons at the door with offering baskets on your way out. And you can do something about your thanks. You'll feel better if we're doing it too. Amen? We're going to give away from our church to those maybe who are less fortunate. You know, some years we've got drive for canned food, and this year we didn't get it together in time. Well, it's not too late for us to do something. Amen? Let's sing verse 2 if we're thankful, okay?
We ourselves are God's own field, fruit and truth is grace to yield. We've been pierced together, song unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the
Father in heaven, our Father, Lord, we want to begin by asking you to forgive us for our neglect. We, like those 9 lepers, so often grasp and grab and take as many blessings as our Heavenly Father offers, and we squander them in a foreign land. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you not only for the many, many blessings you shower on us every moment of every day. So much good, none of which we deserve. We're thankful, Lord, that you don't reward us according to what we deserve. We can't remember everything, Lord, but we don't want to forget everything. And so we thank you for the degree of health we enjoy, for the provision of food you give us with such bounty, for the wealth and the comforts we enjoy, Lord. In this country, most of us live like royalty compared to most of the world, and yet we still manage to complain. Forgive us for that, Lord. We thank you especially for the sacrifice that Jesus has made in dying in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for the way you, God Father, have suffered in sending your Son, that we might be delivered from death. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come into our hearts and minds. Remind us of the times that we're prone to grumble and complain when we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, give us the faith to be grateful even at times when we may not be in the mood. And I ask, Lord, that you can inspire us with this attitude of praise and thanksgiving that will go with us now and all through the year. Help people know that we're your disciples by the way we sing your praises and glorify your name. And it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.
This special presentation by Doug Batchelor has been brought to you by American Cassette Ministries. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 1999, American Cassette Ministries. All rights reserved. For additional cassettes by Doug Batchelor or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 1-717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Visit our website on the internet at www.americancassette.org. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. American Cassette Ministries is a nonprofit corporation. Your generous tax-deductible contributions are solicited and needed to continue this 24-year-old ministry. We're answering the heart cry of the faithful with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ, He of Himself.